Second hour here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, David Beauclair, Michelle Knezovic. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Titans and a number of mathematical, maybe things that contrast. I don't know. You can find any reason right now, David, to... Well, other than the Steelers, maybe the Eagles, to pick teams to make runs in this particular postseason. But Scott Kaxmar, and this is from Michelle. Good find, Michelle. I just followed him. I don't know who he is. He's a writer. I don't know who he works for, or maybe it just says he's an NFL writer. But he's got a big following, and he has an interesting factoid, which is his endorsement for Mike Vrabel. This is an interesting stat. The Titans have the most wins over teams with a winning record in a regular season in NFL history. Did you know this?
No, I don't believe I did.
So, but now, remember, we had a game this year.
Had a game, right.
But still, so you have 16 teams all-time who have seven wins over teams with a winning record, okay? According to Scott, the Titans come in first all-time with eight. Also, highest winning percentage in games versus winning teams in NFL history, minimum of nine such games. Number one all time, 2021 Titans, 8-3 with a 727 winning percentage. That's his, that's his endorsement for Mike Vrabel, coach of the year. So that's pretty compelling. On the other side of that, analytics, the analytics people don't like the Titans and FPI, and they're down the list. And there was a ranking, and I get all the analytics guys mixed up. There's a fake analytics account, which is hilarious. I'm going to find this for you.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And people are constantly taking him as being serious.
Right.
And he's like, it's like Drew Lock was my highest ranked quarterback by my measures, And people are like, what are you talking about? But there's a lot of most of them are serious. And look, I like analytics. I think there's a lot of interesting elements to it. I think it's very important as a team to embrace it and to just have all the data available you can, and sometimes that can help shape a decision. It should be a factor. It should not be the overriding factor, I think, often. But I think there's value in it. The Titans being an analytics non-darling versus the Titans having all this success against winning teams, how do you balance that?
I mean, I would say they don't ask how you won; they ask if you won, right? I mean, just win the games, and the Titans have found ways to do that, and they've done it. They've done it against the right teams. I mean, we've all been focused on the division title, the race for number one seed, all that. The Titans factored heavily in almost in the whole seeding of the AFC because of the games they won, right? I mean, Kansas City, you can say Kansas City finished one game above Buffalo. Titans beat both those teams, right? I mean, there's something to that. Like, the Titans won the right games during the regular season, which makes you say, well, then why can't they win these games during the postseason? I mean, the players hate hearing it, and it is a little bit cliche, but this is a team that sort of seems to play to its competition, right? I mean, there's an element of truth there, and you can lean into that and say, okay, yeah, we'll beat all the best teams out there then.
Well, let's say that they beat the Jets like they should have. They beat the Texans like they should have. They beat the Steelers like they should have. But they didn't beat the Bills, Chiefs, and, like, Rams. Okay, well, then they're a team that's more reliable and consistent. You like that. But do you have confidence they can go into this postseason and beat the top teams? Well, wouldn't you rather have the evidence that they can actually rise up and play the best and beat the best?
That they can hold Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to 3 points?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, who doesn't feel good about that if you're a Titans fan?
I mean, you can look at the Chiefs and say, okay, the timing was pretty good because they were kind of, they were not playing well during that stretch. But still, that's got to give you – I mean, I would prefer a team that – because, again, you can kind of rule out the playing down thing now that you get to the playoffs. It's not a factor. Yeah. But you have an interesting piece at SA.com, too, which is, I mean, this is something I never would have thought of. But I think it probably speaks – one, I think it speaks to what Vrabel does and how he approaches. I think he's very good at one thing. In, you know, not one thing, but I'm just saying this is one thing he's good at,
yeah.
Which is the doubling up thing, like using the clock and trying to – he loves to have the ball first in the third quarter, and he loves to try to get points on the board and double up. Of course, they tripled up last game, right?
Yeah, but we stumbled on this yesterday late in the show from the 33rdteam.com, which is the fact that the second quarter – seems to disproportionately figure into who wins and loses a game. That if you, the teams in 2020, for example, the teams that won the second quarter won almost three quarters of those games versus any other quarter, it's not even two thirds of the time. So that got me thinking, and I went and looked, and sure enough, the Titans are second in the NFL this year in points scored in the second quarter. They are second this year to – that was to Green Bay. They are second to New England in point differential in the second quarter. They scored 10 points or more 11 times in a quarter this season. Six of them were in the second. In the six-game win streak, when they were really rolling, 92-33 they outscored folks in the in the second quarter. And you can go on. There's other things here. Ryan Tannehill, his numbers by far in the second quarter are the best. And you know, to your point, if the thing that really struck me is this feels very intentional. If you just look at the points scored and point differential in the second quarter under Mike Vrabel, point total from 2018 through 2021 goes from 58 to 77 to 144 to 167. Point differential goes from minus 47 to minus 22 to plus 1 to plus 35. Like that doesn't feel like an accident to me. Because those are pretty consistent jumps. And you know, Vrabel and Todd Downing in particular, they've gotten a lot of questions lately about, well, you know, slow starts on offense, slow, you know, it almost feels like they're setting things up early in the game to start taking advantage of them, maybe in the second quarter or something. I don't know, but those numbers really are pretty compelling in light of the fact that it seems like the second quarter maybe is the most important quarter in the game.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, you know, with the Tannehill numbers, I mean, one thing I think of there is what happens in the second quarter. A lot of times you have a hurry up possession or more than one.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, quarterback get into a rhythm. You're trying to go down and get points. And I think a lot of quarterbacks like that, right? Times where you can get in there, go hurry up, call stuff at the line and kind of get a defense, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, out of position at times, things like that. But yeah, you're right. There's so much focus on the beginning of the game, the scripted plays. It hasn't gone as well. But this is. Maybe that's it. That's what I'd like to know. Are the trick plays just used in the second quarter? Are they just save? That's like our second quarter trick play? Because you can think of some of those games, and again, this is not – I mean, it's not like they knew that they were going to, like, pick off Matthew Stafford and blow that game up in the second – but that's when it happened.
Right.
Right? So sometimes it's just maybe circumstantial, but you're right. When you look at all those numbers and then you look at how much that leads to winning – it probably is intentional. This would be a good question for Mike Vrabel.
It would be a good question for him. And I mean, because I'm sure this is – this. You know, I'm sure his guy Stretch, you know, presented it to him in an analytics report somewhere, you know, saying that, hey, this is something to think about and really, you know, don't – you know, say maybe you save some of your better stuff to the second quarter and you can really, you know, you can really manipulate the game in those 15 minutes. But yeah, something to think about as you watch playoff games this weekend and looking ahead to the divisional round. Watch the second quarter, see how that goes, see how it factors into the outcome, and then know that the Titans have been one of the NFL's better second quarter teams this year.
And maybe it means the Titans' next second quarter will see a ton of one player in particular. We're going to talk about that player next. Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can join up on our phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And we're going to got a little help today from my dear friend Jared Stillman. Actually, Jared texted me at like 5 a.m., which I guess...
Oh, there it is. There's the first fumble of the day. What's he doing up at this hour?
I don't know. I think, you know, maybe doing some cardio. You know, I think he's just obsessively listening to this show to see how many times we mention his name. So there's here's a segment for you, Jared. You can record it and play it over and over to yourself later as you're working out. But Jared texted me to let me know that they had an interesting segment with Stefania Bell, ESPN's medical expert yesterday, talking about Derrick Henry, and we're going to play a little bit of that now.
I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think that there's no reason to think Derrick Henry will look that different from the Derrick Henry you saw in the first part of the season. Now, maybe he's not going to touch the ball 40 times in that first game back, but, you know, everybody has to shake off a little rust when they've been out for half the season, without a doubt. But I think this gradual ramp up has been really nice for him. You know, you get him working his way back, doing different things in drills, getting used to be doing football specific activity. And that, you know, Derrick Henry's the way he's built. He's not the guy that you're worried about when he takes his first contact. You're worried more about the other people who are going to hit him with his fresh legs. So, again, I'm looking for a strong outing from Derrick Henry in his first game back, and I can't wait.
Stefania, what is the likelihood with that screw in the foot that it could be re-injured?
Well, you know, the thing that is key when you're coming back from an injury like this, and we've seen guys come back earlier, I would point out, and then we've seen guys wait longer. Sometimes they wait longer because the seasonal calendar just falls that way. But he's not having any pain. And believe it or not, you know, when you get to a certain point with the bone healing, that becomes really the distinguishing factor. If you go back and look at different cases where guys have had setbacks or had re-injury, it's been because they're trying to push through a little discomfort, a little bit of soreness in the foot, some residual pain. But sometimes they're doing that because it's a timing issue, because it's the playoffs, et cetera. They're trying to make it back, and they know there's a risk involved. Now, it's not a non-zero risk. But the goal really is to have him be, when he steps on the field, like the risk would not be that different from him injuring the other foot. And I think when you can see that he's doing everything that's being asked of him, he's repeatedly stating that he's not having any pain or discomfort or soreness, I think you look at it like, hey, it's just, it could be the same risk as any other day of stepping on the football field, and you shouldn't really see it as much greater than that.
That was Stefania Bell, ESPN's medical expert, on Stillman & Company yesterday. Your reaction to that, David? Anything about that that makes you raise your eyebrows?
No. I'll say this. If pain is the biggest issue, more so than injury, then Derrick Henry will be fine. Like, there are some guys who, if they're 85%, they might as well be 8%, right? Like, they just can't. And Javon Kearse is a guy who comes to mind. And, you know, Javon Kearse back in the day was amazing, but if he had any sort of injury, just couldn't come close to being Javon Kearse. Derrick Henry showed us in 2019 when he played through that hamstring injury for a period of, what, 4 or 5 weeks it was, and he even admitted after they gave him the week off for the Saints game, and he said it felt so much better, and I remember him sort of laughing, and it was one of his more candid moments with the media where he said, you know, this hamstring thing is a real, he said, it's a real nuisance, and I mean it was bothering him, and you wouldn't have known it by the way he played down the stretch of that season. So if it's just a matter of pain tolerance, then you know, he'll be fine. I do think, you know, there's still something to the curse of 370, you know, the number of touches that he had last year and all that. And, you know, this feels like it was a wear and tear injury. It wasn't that somebody rolled up on him or it was a fluky play. You know, it seems like the beginning of you know, the decline of Derrick Henry, which every running back goes through, and most Titans fans felt like, you know, he'd be the exception. I think we all felt like, you know, there's reason to believe that. The question is, can he stay healthy enough for a full playoff run, or, you know, is there something else going to flare up here right away? I've still read things that say the risk of re-injury is fairly pronounced with this thing, but certainly Stefania sounded a much more optimistic note there.
Yeah, I mean, so I got to get the I talked to Kenneth Jung. He's a foot surgeon, so he works on these. He actually is a Rams team doctor. You know, shortly after Derek got hurt, and yeah, his thing was a lot of what she said in terms of the pain, but also, you know, it's also, of course, confidence on the foot, the cutting, and, you know, the fact that you're talking about 6'3", 250. I mean, first of all, when you see a little injury like this, you're like, gosh, you're at such risk for this all the time, aren't you?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, now you have the screw put in. But you know, a big thing there that he was pointing out was also if there's any sort of overcompensating because you don't have the confidence, there's where you injure something else now, right? So there's that. But he also said, look, it's a couple things. One, that he didn't think like, – don't take this as like the start of some downward spiral.
No? Okay.
That's what, so, which I thought was, you know, was good for Derrick Henry. But also, I mean, of course, if you had 6 months,
right,
you're still like better off than the two. You know, like the longer you have to let it heal, the better. But I mean, look, watching Derrick Henry run around in the last couple weeks, you tell me.
And the ramp up thing, like Mike Vrabel sort of hinted at it early this week when he said, you know, because he basically said the Titans were going to have him do some cutting and things this week. It sounds like last week it was more just sort of straight ahead running, get comfortable on the foot, that sort of thing. You know, they were going to do some more with him this week, which all makes, you know, perfect sense. And then, you know, the big thing, like Mike Vrabel always says, then we'll see how he feels after doing that. So I would assume there was some cutting and some more game type movements this week, and assuming there's not been a setback and there's been no indication that there's any kind of setback, then you move into next week and you say he's going to get a full practice load and get ready for a game.
So assuming that Do you, if you are Vrabel, if you are Downing, you go into this game thinking pitch count at all? Or is it just like, he's available?
I think you go in thinking pitch count, but it's going to be really hard to stick to it, right? I mean, we saw that. I mean, we saw early in the year, everybody was talking about it. I'm sure the coaches were talking about it in their meetings that, you know, this, I mean, because they, you just look at how they handled him in training camp in the preseason. The whole thing was about keeping him rested, keeping him fresh, getting him ready for the regular season. I mean, they know the kind of touch numbers he had the previous two seasons and what that historically does to a guy. And then they get in the games, and what happens? Todd Downing just can't help himself, right? You know, it's like keep giving the ball to 22. And who in the fans was saying, no, stop? Yeah. Like, nobody in the stands is going, no, stop. Get him out of there. You know what I mean?
Just the other team just, was.
Yeah, you've got to do this. The only difference is now there's Deontay Foreman, right? And you feel like, okay, we've got a reasonable facsimile of Derrick Henry in there. We can run the same plays. We've got a guy who has carried the ball, has done some has built some confidence over the last couple weeks. So I think you can go into the game saying every third series goes to Foreman, for example. And then you get into the middle of the third quarter and it's 20-17, and you're just like, just give the ball,
you know, 22.
Just give the ball to 22. I think if he's healthy enough to play, you're trying to win a Super Bowl. Damn the torpedoes, you know. If he gets hurt again, if he runs for 300 yards, he runs for 300 yards, whatever. This is the time of year that you use your best players because that's what it demands.
No doubt. When we come back, we'll continue on this. Is it possible Derrick Henry could be the best version of Derrick Henry when he returns? Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Joe Rex Road, David Beauclair, and for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic, talking Derrick Henry and his pending return to the field, Saturday or Sunday. We think Saturday. We think probably Saturday. I think Titans-Pats would be your best bet. And actually, that would be, to me, your best-case scenario, other than the Steelers, if you're the Titans. Get the Pats in here.
Do you want New England?
Oh, if I'm choosing between them or of the three that are most likely, yeah. Obviously, Bengals, Raiders. See, the Raiders scare me because if they go win in Cincy, with all that has gone on there, with what just happened and what they – because I think they might have a hard time coming back from that to win at Cincy. But if they go in at Cincy with everything else going on after winning that game against the Chargers and everything, that's just one of the team that's got something going, some mojo going. And the
interim head coach can be a powerful thing. We've seen that a lot of times,
that's,
too.
That's right. And then I just think the Bengals are – the Bengals could, for as much as the Titans have improved defensively this year, the Bengals could – carve that defense up potentially.
I said
Burrow
it
has time to throw.
They've got the puncher's chance. They are a big play offense. Can make a 10-point game a 3-point game just like that.
Yep.
And then things get dicey.
Yeah. So I just look. It's the playoffs. And you don't relish anything other than the Steelers. we got our Steelers fan in there.
She's
trying to take as many shots.
She takes it very hard.
Can.
Yeah. Takes it very personally.
Well, just wait till you start talking about Kentucky.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Kentucky's my heart and soul.
Little preview of Call Your Shot Friday. But look, you don't relish any matchup, but the Patriots scare me less than the other two, and largely just because I just don't think you worry that much about their passing. If the Titans would have tackled in the first meeting, Mac Jones really would have had some pedestrian numbers in that game. So. But whoever it is, it's going to be Derrick Henry. And I guess my question for you is, the rust, I totally rejected the shake off rust. Like, oh, get him out in Houston. And because to me, it's like, okay, so shake off the rust. Let's say he had played this last weekend. Great. You get him 8 to 10 carries. Okay. So you got him into a game, took some hits. Okay, fine. And then if you won, which they did, and I'm sure they would have still won, then so now you sit for 2 weeks again. Just don't do anything. Don't do the really, dangerous stuff on the foot until you have to. Yes, you have to do that some to ramp up for the game. But Derrick Henry, he's gonna take some hits and he's gonna be fine eventually, as we normally see with him. It's gonna be him delivering the punishment more than the other way around.
The issue, though, I don't know that it's rust, if that's the right term, but we've all seen it. It's real. The numbers support it. Derrick Henry gets better as he goes, not just through games, but through a season.
Yes.
His yards per carry, 4 for his career in September, 4.3 in October. 5.6 in November. That's where he had. Yes, it's January. Are we going to get September Derrick Henry?
But see, I take those numbers also as a lot of what he's going against, and he's going against defenses that continue to get battered through a season, and continue to lose players through a season. Right, so in the midst of a game, you have a tired defense. As a season progresses, you have defenses that often are diminished. Right, so I think that's part of it too, and that still happened to these defenses. Right,
right.
So have you thought that Derrick Henry? Because I had this argument with Jared, the rust of he didn't have a big game against the Cardinals, and I'm like, I watched him run the ball. I didn't think he was any different. They got killed.
They got to him, yeah.
Well, they got killed up front.
Right.
And they had to take him out of the game in the second half. I mean,
Right. He was a non-factor in that because of the situation, because of Derrick Henry.
Exactly. And if you go through those numbers, let's also remember, like 2019, they were a mess up front. They didn't have Lawan. They had Jameel Douglas at right guard. They couldn't block anyone. So, like, there was a lot of factors there of his lack of success, right, including the quarterback position.
And you can go to 2018 and say it took Matt LaFleur half the season to figure out how to use him.
Well, right. I mean, 2018, it was like, okay, who's RB1? Is it Derek? Is it Deion Lewis? Because at midpoint, it was Deion Lewis had a big game at Dallas. Yeah, and it's like, oh, RB1. By the way, Derrick Henry was RB3 against New England. David Flewellen gets a series before Derrick Henry does, and then obviously Flewellen gets hurt, and we know what all happened from there. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, to me, those numbers, there's a lot of different things that go into them. But I've never thought like, oh, look at September Derrick Henry. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's just not running the same. And now October Derrick Henry, I think it's what it happens largely to his opponents over time.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
It's a fair point. I'll give it to you.
You know, but the regardless, it'll be interesting even in this game. I mean, gosh, you have to have him out on play one, right? Like play one, right?
run a play action.
I was
on
just
play
gonna say,
one. You know, yeah.
I was absolutely just gonna say the first play, he's got to be in the backfield, and you've got to run play action.
I will never, forget this. This is along those lines. When I was working in Fort Worth back in the day, I was covering small colleges throughout the state, and there's a school in Stephenville, Texas, about 60 miles southwest of Fort Worth, called Tarleton State. Was number one in NAIA Division II at the time. And they're going into a game against Midwestern State, which had just restarted its football program that year. It was their first year. And they lost their first two games and then had won five in a row with four shutouts. And, you know, they're like, they are so hyped for playing Tarleton State. And Tarleton wins the coin toss, gets the kick, you know, returned it to the 27, 28-yard line, whatever it was. First play of the game, they run a double reverse option pass. And on the first handoff, the reverse, the entire defense, because they were so hyped to play the number one team in the country, they go that way. Then the guy hands off, he goes the other way. There's a guy completely unguarded downfield, throws it for a touchdown pass. Final score was 49-0. You know, like just roll. It was one of those brilliant little coaching moves that so took advantage of understanding that team's going to be so hyped. We're going to be we're going to get them. Obviously, you're not gonna get an NFL team that far off guard. But I think to your point, you can take advantage of the fact that there's going to be a lot of attention paid to Derrick Henry right from the get go in that game.
I mean, I thought even in general watching, because look, early in games, obviously that's when the defense is fresh. They're all geared up to stop him. That's when he takes hits, is in the beginning of games when guys are lining up to take shots at him. They're all jacked up. It's like, somehow don't give him carries in the first quarter. You know, just wait until they're a little more tired. Maybe that's the plan. You know, use your Deontay Foreman series up early, and then your second quarter, boom, throw it all into the second quarter. But I mean, it's just the whole thing is going to be fascinating.
It's interesting. If I went back over the summer and read pre-draft reports on Derrick Henry, and the pre-draft reports say the exact same thing that people say now, which is if you get him before he gets up to full speed, you can handle him, no problem. The issue, and like the Cardinals game, that was the thing. Like, the offensive line was terrible in every aspect. They were in the backfield every time Derrick Henry touched the ball, they got him down. Like, that was that has never changed. Like, it's just, I don't think people realized how good he was, was going to be in the NFL going to this point. And
well,
he's just I mean, he's just a machine.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, honestly, well, and look, and we've seen his transformation too, right? Right? I mean, especially in this offense in 18, Matt LaFleur, you can talk about certainly had to figure some stuff out, but Derrick Henry had to figure stuff out too, and he did, and then it all came together. But I always thought going into the NFL, I was like, is he quick enough? Like, because you do, it's obvious with him, you need a little ramp up time. He needs to be going downhill. Like, is that going to work in the NFL? I didn't realize, even watching him in that Heisman season at Alabama, that he was this level of, you know, combination of as imposing a power back as there is, plus as big of a home run hitter. So we're going to get to see him play football soon, which should be fun. But we're also going to get to call some shots on this show next. Call Your Shot Friday, coming up, Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. And I'm going to revisit the shots from last week. Gosh, one of us did pretty well. Can you guess who it was? So let's go through my shots. John Fulkerson, 15-plus and win at LSU. No. I did say that Vanderbilt would give Tennessee a good game last night and lose a defensive battle. I think that's, you know, it's kind of a gray area, 65-51. It was a defensive battle. Both defenses did some good things. You know, I mean, I can give myself half credit for that. Why not? Jeremy Nichols scored a touchdown at Houston. No, in fact, he didn't play, and probably going to be a practice squad guy the rest of the way. Imani Hooker, pick six at Houston, no. Stetson Bennett, more passing yards than Bryce Young, no. But in the spirit of that shot, Stetson Bennett did win the natty.
So you're giving yourself half points all over the place here, Joe.
I guess, you know, in a way, I got a point between those two things, sort of. Michelle, Julio Jones will score a touchdown at Houston. Yes. Revisiting your call shot from previously, the Titans won the Super Bowl, so we'll see on that. Colts lose to Jacksonville. Hey. Well done. Well done. I think I laughed at you, and there you go. That teaches me to laugh at your picks. Antonio Brown will sign somewhere before the playoffs. That doesn't look like it's happening. John Morant, third 40-point game with the Clippers. I don't know. Did he have 40?
He had 31.
Okay.
Well, okay, actually.
An off night
just
of 31.
Kidding. He didn't play against the Clippers, but then the next day he had 31. So.
Okay. But point being, he's ridiculously good. Yeah. Robbie had Chester Rogers punt return for a touchdown at Houston. Didn't happen. Tannehill, 20-yard or more run. Didn't happen. Harold Landry, 2 sacks to get to 14. Didn't happen. Preds will score 6 or more versus Arizona. Forsberg won't be one of them. No. And Alabama beats Georgia on a touchdown with less than a minute left in regulation. Sorry. Sorry, Bama fans who didn't show up and apparently don't even care if their team loses the title game anymore because they're so sick of winning national championships. So now, let's go to Call Your Shot for today. Michelle, I mean, you're the one who's calling these shots left and right accurately, so why don't we start with you?
Okay, so I'm going to revisit the Super Bowl one, right? Titans 1 seed. Derrick Henry back, and Super Bowl. I still feel pretty confident in that.
Do you feel like I have to type it up new every week so we won't forget it?
Yeah, because when I called the Braves to win the World Series in April, and then they did. Or no, in August. Sorry, in August. And then they did. That was a pretty good shot.
That was a good shot.
Right?
That was yeah, man. Okay.
Okay, next. TJ Watt will sack Patrick Mahomes 3 times.
Okay.
Big Ben will have 4 touchdown passes.
Stop it.
Okay, 3.
Big Ben will have 4 touchdown passes?
No,
we're going 4. Okay. I mean 3 alone is
4.
If this happens, okay.
The Steelers will shock the Chiefs and win by an extra point.
They'll win by a point?
1 point.
So wait, you're saying they'll win by an extra point because like the Chiefs miss an extra point?
Yep. They're going to miss a field goal. Or an extra point.
Wow. Okay. This is what it's about. This is calling shots.
Kentucky basketball will beat Tennessee tomorrow by 10 or more points, and Oscar Tshiebwe will have another triple-double. Also, if you haven't watched him play, you should go do that because he's up pretty good.
Okay, wait. He's had a triple. What was the third thing for him in the triple-double?
Oh, we're going to do...
He's had a triple-double?
No. I said he's going to have one.
Oh, you said another.
Oh, I didn't mean another.
So he's going to have a triple-double.
Yeah. The third category is up for discussion.
Like turnovers? And I don't think he's going to block 10 shots.
Yeah,
he's
we're
going to. He's going to have 10
yep.
blocks?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do it.
Well, let's call him a shot.
Let's call your shot. Okay, right. Those are my shots.
That, those are shots. David, you got any called shots you wanna throw in here? And by the way, anybody out there want to throw in some on our text line? Wilson, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025.
Ben Roethlisberger's first pass of the postseason will be an interception.
David!
I like it.
I don't know if that's so much a shot, though.
First pass. Kind of. That's
first
good.
Pass. The first
okay.
pass.
That's pretty good.
Not that he's going to throw one. It's going to be the first pass he throws.
Yeah.
It's going to end up with the defense. I'm going to say Bill Belichick's going to have some fun. New England, regardless of what the weather is in Buffalo, New England's first 20 offensive plays are going to be runs. They're going right back to that formula.
I love it. I hope that happens.
It's going to be a mirroring 0 degrees there.
Scottie Pippen Jr. is going to score a career high Saturday against Georgia. He might even have half of Vanderbilt's points by the time that game's over.
I think he did on Tuesday.
It's getting to be that way.
He had 32 of 66. It was very
okay,
yeah, and Georgia's not so good.
No.
I don't know that they can deal with him. And I'm going to say that former Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota scores the game-winning touchdown for the Raiders against the Bengals.
Robbie would love that.
Oh, my. Now, how fun would that be? Earning himself a ticket to Nashville.
To Nashville.
We can only hope.
That is a writer rooting for the story right there.
Yes, it is. I love it. All right, I've got four. I've got the Vols will shock Michelle Perry's Wildcats tomorrow.
No.
And get a combined 30 points from Josiah James and Justin Powell. For people who watch this team closely, Powell has not. I mean, they need to get him shots. It hasn't been working out, and Josiah James has been in a season-long shooting slump. Those two guys will hit some shots that will change everything for them, and they will pull off the shocker.
Yeah, it's a very precise shot that you're calling there.
Yes. Exactly. Eli Tolvanen, another one, will score two goals for the Preds tomorrow in a win at Boston. Jawan Jennings, who I just saw completely befuddle the Rams, will have the winning touchdown at Dallas. Jawan Jennings, winning touchdown at Dallas. And then I've got Matt Stafford, 400-plus on the passing yardage, and he's going to need every bit of it in a thriller over the Cardinals on the first Monday Night Football playoff game ever. So there you go. And I know on the text line here, Josh on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. So he's got Niners, Steelers, Raiders, Bills, Cards win this weekend. And he's got Memphis beating Dallas tonight by 15. So those are called shots other than you're not calling the shot of the you're just ignoring the Bucks Eagles game. So.
The
thriller.
On. that one, yeah.
You guys are talking me into like that one maybe being the worst game. I still think that game has a better chance of being a game than Kansas City Pittsburgh. But you guys are
we know,
me
Joe.
Into it.
Oh, we know.
Well, I know you know. You're wearing me down on this. Maybe. I mean, look, I'm hopeful. Okay?
I can't wait till you text us during the game and you're like, okay, wow. Then you're going to eat your crow.
Hey, believe me, I absolutely would love for that. I want all these games to be great. I want that to be a great game. I think it's the hard part is also just having seen them play each other so recently, and it was like, oh, boy. Of course, that day, I think that was the day that people were wondering if anybody was going to beat the Chiefs to help anybody else. The one seed, and of course, the Bengals ended up doing that. Those are our call shots. If you want to get more in, you can always send them along on the text line. Also, like to remind you, go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, buy $100, get $50 to the Woodhouse Spa in Nashville. Save 75% off at Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation, and get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Also, today, tune in, and we're going to say Jared's name again, Tune in from 5 to 7 for the NFL playoff preview show today. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Teron Davenport, they're going to break down the upcoming playoffs for the Two-Tone Blue. The NFL playoff preview show presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating and Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. And speaking of TD, we're going to have him next on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 1025 The Game.